All right, so I've done a few takes of this now, but I'm gonna try one more time. So what I was debating earlier was the PS4 and Xbox One hardware, which is something that nobody really cares about now, but I still find kind of interesting. And now everyone knows, I'm just gonna get things out of the way. The PS4, and we're talking about the base models here, the launch models in 2013, which would be the kind of sloped PS4 and then the big VCR looking Xbox One. To get things out of the way, the PS4 was objectively more powerful. And you can see this in games across the board. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of Xbox One games ran at 900p, as opposed to the PS4, which was actually able to achieve 1080p. And the main reason for that would be, graphics. It wasn't really a CPU issue. They both used very similar CPUs. I think the clock speeds were different, but they were both x86, AMD Jaguar based, 8 cores. If you don't know what Jaguar is, it's a low power architecture. It's kind of like Intel's the Atoms of the era, if that would be an Intel equivalent. And these are pretty shitty CPU cores, but there's 8 of them. And the developers, they kind of had to learn how to cope with not relying on just like one or two threads to get games working. They actually had to learn how to multi-thread their games and like distribute the load evenly across the cores. And anyway, so it wasn't really a CPU issue. They both had very similar CPUs. They weren't good CPUs. Those were a bottleneck for both systems, but like there wasn't a major difference between one and the other. Sorry, I had to do mess with my controller here for a second. And the main bottleneck that made the PS4 better was for the Xbox One's bottleneck would be its graphics. So both of them use custom GPUs from AMD. These GPUs were not available in the commercially like ready available APUs, like CPU GPU combinations, by the way. Basically, the CPU and GPU are on one die. Pretty much everything integrated graphics, that's all it is. And the PS4 had a little bit more shader units. If I recall, it was like, around 20%. I mean, I'm talking out of my ass here, but the PS4 had a actual advantage in the graphics department. But the thing that people don't realize is there is more to it than that. Because the funny thing is, I haven't really talked about this a lot. The PS4 actually had, like normal GDDR5 graphics memory as its main, it, all of its, like its entire memory pool for RAM was GDDR5. As opposed to the Xbox One, which had 8 gigabytes, they were both 8 gigabytes, by the way, of DDR3. Although the Xbox One has a trick up its sleeve, DDR3 is slow as shit, for games relative to what GDDR5 would provide. And what did they do to cope with that? Well, they used 32 megabytes of ES RAM, and they were using this as a cache. They kind of jerry-rigged it as a sort of cache, so they could, to cope with the latency of DDR3. And it didn't work out very well for them. Number one, because people didn't want to optimize for the shit. Number two, it's just a weird fucking architecture. It's already kind of weird that they're using graphics memory anyway. Well, the PlayStation was using graphics memory, but the Xbox One, it's got normal system RAM, DDR3. Also, that's just a really bad way to do things. If you're making a console, and everyone's realized this by now, if you're making a console and you have to have one type of memory, one type of RAM, because consoles don't use, like console GPUs do not have dedicated VRAM. At least modern ones don't. I mean, 8th gen onwards, at least. I don't think the PS3 and 360 had dedicated VRAM, but I may be wrong. And sorry, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here because I'm kind of nervous. So what happened is that a lot of I'm probably repeating myself, but a lot of 360, I mean not 360, Xbox One games ran at 900p, as opposed to the PS4, which was actually able to achieve 1080p. And it's kind of funny because like people really dealt with this shit back then, and it all stems from one thing. Again, the Kinect. They wanted to, so keep in mind, the Xbox One at launch was already $500, and the PS4 was $400. And the thing is, the Kinect, it was more than $100, if you know what I mean. And they kind of had to compensate on the hardware. And I think there were some other factors too. Like a lot of the I'd imagine a lot of stuff went into the heat sink for the system, you know, because the 360 and the Red Ring of Death. If you look at a teardown of a VCR, and that's why it's so freaking big, the VCR Xbox One, that had a huge copper heat sink. With, you know, it had some aluminum on there as well. I think, I don't know if it's aluminum. It might have been steel. I can't remember. Giant ass heat sink. And the funny thing is, the Xbox One, fun fact, the original Xbox One, as big as that piece of, I think it was like 8 pounds minimum. Well, anyway, it doesn't have an integrated power brick like the 360. They didn't fix that for the original Xbox One. They did with the One S eventually, and I'm gonna get to the One S in a second. Yeah, they didn't fix it. Sorry. Anyway, about the One S. So the One S was kind of a way to remedy some of the issues, and the One S, I'm pretty sure they overclocked the GPU. It was the same setup, the 8 gigabytes of RAM. And then the 32 megabytes of ESRAM used as the cache again, but they overclocked the GPU. And I'm pretty sure the reason they were able to do that was because the node, the semiconductor node, had actually, there was a die shrink. I'm not sure exactly. I think it was around 20 something nanometers. I can't remember. It was around 2016, so nothing really advanced. That's when the 1S came out. And the funny thing is, the 1S still wasn't able to catch up to the base model PS4, which had came out. Quite a bit earlier. I think it was like a 9% increase in GPU power, which still wasn't enough, and that's kind of funny. And it's, it, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this, but this is just kind of how I think, yeah.